Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hello and welcome to Down the Dog with me, John Richardson.
And me, Matt Ford. Do rabbits eat honey? I mean,
maybe they've not even eaten it.
You what?
That's a really good question. What in nature does not like honey?
I like honey. Do you like honey?
Yeah, it's one of those vegan grey areas.
Oh, what? Because wow,
it's
God.
It's an animal product.
Honey, vegan. What do you...
Well, no, it isn't.
Okay. Well, what do you deep in your heart and gut think?
Oh, I think it isn't vegan. That said, it would be, and I'm always keen to be on the moderate end, it would be one of the things to worry about less, you know? The problem is if you say honey's not vegan, you get all the non-vegans saying, fuck off. I can't even have some bloody honey on my porridge. And then I need to talk to you about your porridge as well, actually, because you need to get rid of the milk element of that. Bloody hell.
But
you know,
it's made by insects, not animals.
Well, what is an insect if not a tiny little animal?
I know, but it doesn't. They don't possess the same consciousness.
Close up of a bee's face.
I mean, I like bees; they're good. I mean, but the bees.
They're not making the honey for us, are they?
Well, who are they making it for then?
For themselves.
Are they? What do they do?
Greedy bees.
What do they do with it?
They eat it and take sucker. Yeah.
But they've made so much of it.
Well, they're planning for...
waste not, want not.
They're planning for dark times. That's why, apparently, you spray the smoke on the bees, is because it makes the bees think, shit, the hive's on fire. So they fill up on honey. So they're so full, they can't bend their little tummies to get the stinger in.
Oh, my God. Clever,
what
isn't
I heard.
It? The way we treat them in that way. I mean, personally, I've never sprayed smoke on a bee because I like them.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know.
I'm pro-bee.
The human has outwitted the bee.
I've got...
That's a battle we've won.
If you could have... if you could measure it, I would have my bee license. They should do that, like football training. If you're pro-bee, which I am, I'd be on the bee team. We should start that.
You don't need a full license, do you? You just need a little card, you know, like a donor card. You just have a little B card.
I'm on the B team.
Yeah.
I don't know why no one's thought of this before.
I bet Brentford have.
They probably have. Join the B team, junior bees. What was you want to be on the A team?
The busy
you?
Bees.
If you could be a member of the A team, what member of the A team would you be? John Richardson.
Oh, now it's a long time since I watched the A team.
Hannibal. Murdoch, the face man, or B.A. Baraka.
The face man. Is that what they call it? Is that what it's called face? Is he called the face man?
The face man, and then it got shortened to face.
Did it?
You don't know your A-team canon.
No, I am telling you that. And do you know what? I skipped a video on Instagram today of somebody showing you around a DeLorean that had been fitted out to be exactly like the film. And I realised, it's not one of my favourites, Back to the Future. Is that
I think
blasphemy?
Back to the Future 2 is better, isn't it?
I couldn't tell you a thing about it.
Yeah, that's the better one, I think. But how did we get onto bees?
Well, I want to make a point about 80s television, actually.
Go on,
because
then.
You must get this. I get, in the same way people get like an earworm of a song, I get a comedy catchphrase or a piece of stand-up or something stuck in my head. More often than not, it's League of Gentlemen, something like that. Come to me in private, I will take you in my German mouth. And then the intonation and everything just plays on a loop in my head. I can't get rid of it.
Yeah, I get that with music.
Occasionally, you can't place it. Do you ever get it with music where you can't remember what the song is? You've just got a refrain or a lyric, and you're like, what the fucking hell is that?
Yeah, I have. Well, mine is da-da-da-da-da, painkiller. which is, but then what I've done is effectively I harmonize with on it. So I go da 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 da, and I've started freestyling with a slight riff from a song called Painkiller by Erika Jane, who's one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and brought out a terrible single called Painkiller. Painkiller, ba da ba ba da. But I've taken that and I find myself now adding. So just a little riff is ba-da-ba-ba-da, but then I'll go ba-da-ba-ba-da, ba-da-ba-ba-da, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm like, I've made this song better for myself, but obviously no one else
is scatting.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da. So what's yours, John?
It's very often the worst songs, isn't it? Mm. Well, I got into my head last week. All I could hear was a posh voice saying, bugger ye off. It went round and round, and I remember I was like, I remember this is one of the first swears I obsessed over.
Yeah.
When you're young and you hear a swear and you're like, God, that's good. And usually with these things, you Google them and nothing comes up. And I thought there is no way that if I Google bugger ye off, I'm going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And it took me for once in my life straight to what I was looking for, which was a 1991 Christmas BBT dramatization called Bernard and the Genie.
What?
It was written by Richard Curtis and it stars Alan Cumming as a recently dumped and sacked man who rubs a genie and Lenny Henry comes out.
Oh, man.
And his boss is played by Rowan Atkinson and he says ye all the time. So when he goes into his office, he goes, ah, sit ye. And then he fires him at the end and he says, bugger ye off. And I was instantly a 9-year-old boy, absolutely elated at just a beautiful bit of swearing.
That is wonderful, John. And how phenomenal that the internet's been able to find you that.
It really is, because usually it just turns up nothing, these, and you search and search and you start even searching for even more ridiculous sentences like possibly red-headed singer, maybe video flames. You know you're not getting it. I don't know. I think I was thinking of Belinda Carlisle.
Maybe.
I don't know. Should we Google it?
Bugger ye off.
Bugger ye off. And I've watched half of it and it's all right. But
you don't ruin the memory, do you, I guess? You're in a tricky position with that.
It's where I first encountered the song Lonely This Christmas by Mudd.
Great song. Great song.
Classic. Song. Yeah.
I quite like a sad Christmas song, even though I'm a chirpy fellow. I quite like the melancholy of snow and winter time.
Yes. It's happening now, isn't it? Frost on the air.
I like it when you go out and it's cold in the morning and then the sun comes out and it's still a bit warm. I mean, I guess that's just normal times. I think...
Are you able to understand in your head that it still might be cold? Because my wife, she doesn't listen to this podcast, so I can speak freely. My wife, if it's sunny, she is convinced it's hot. Was a slightly sunny morning. We're trying to get our daughter dressed. And she reached for her summer school shoes, which are sort of open on the top. I was like, what are you doing? She said, well, it looks like it's going to be like 20, 22 degrees today. I said, you're having a laugh. Have you not seen the slow tread into winter of the last 2 months? A big old argument in the hallway. What are you saying next? No coat. And it was bloody freezing. And then it pissed it down. And I mentioned it later in the day. And she didn't like it.
Well, I mean, the problem is you're trying to score points, aren't you?
I am, yeah. And I did. 1-0.
Is that what parenting's about? For those who are non-parents, is it basically just another, is having a child just another way to prove yourself right?
I think it's what human relationships are, isn't it? Marriage, friendship, professional relationships. We're all aware of the score. I'd say everyone I meet, I know exactly what the score is.
What do you mean?
Well, say I meet another comic, I know whether I'm beating them or not. I say if I meet friends, I know whether I'm winning.
I tell you what's interesting about this is, I've always suspected that you thought yourself superior to others. But what you're also a humanitarian. You're a good person. But you seem to approach life effectively. That's the sort of thing apprentice candidates say.
Yeah, I'm only a humanitarian because I think it makes me better than other people. I don't give a shit about the planet.
No, you do.
Fuck
you do.
Bees.
Oh, but you would not fuck a bee.
No, you wouldn't be able to.
Multiple bees.
God, imagine if you could. Do you think there's anyone out there who could?
You'd need a big bee and a small fella.
Yeah.
Maybe you are the guy.
He bearless. You know, my mother-in-law, Jill, will frequently, when she leaves, she will say, I'm going to kiss you on your third eye now, John, and I want you to stay still. That's how she'll leave.
She thinks it sounds funny, right?
She knows it sounds funny, but she does also genuinely think she's doing me a favour. She thinks that on her way out, the nicest thing she can do is awaken my third eye, because it will have a sort of tangible benefit to my life over the next few days.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I don't know how you shut it again. Can I sort of spit on my hand and rub it on my forehead? Does that shut it?
I mean, can your third eye get conjunctivitis or hay fever?
Of course, yeah. Cataracts. Maybe I'm short-sighted in my third eye. Maybe that's why I'm not more spiritual. There's a vulnerability, I think, to entering into too deep a spiritual conversation, isn't there? It's basically it's religion for people who would make a point of telling you they're not religious, but they will say, but I'm not saying there's not anything, because there's clearly energy and chakras.
Yeah.
Is there?
I believe. The problem is when people do this stuff, is I believe in energy and universe. It tends to be when they feel like things are going quite well.
Mm.
When things are going badly, you never hear anyone say, I lost my job, my wife left me, and my house got repossessed. I've been homeless for 5 years. You know, I just totally believe that this is what the universe wanted for me. You never get anyone doing a 10 stretch in Belmarsh going, look, I totally believe in the universe. I think this is all part of God's plan.
I have got bad voodoo.
They go, it's a fucking miscarriage of justice. Get me out of here. You know, it's only people who feel like either they're good looking. People like Mariah Carey, isn't it? Going, I believe in God and he's got a plan. You're like, yeah, you would think that.
Yes. You know. Noel Edmonds.
Of course.
Manifest a TV career.
I made it so you can as well. You're like, no, because that's not how it works. Either sport is basically a meritocracy as far as you can do it.
Well, do you know, I was just going to say, you bringing back very bad Jesse Marsh memories for me.
Oh, baby.
And that's as close as Leeds United has come to having someone at the helm who was just short of saying, if we just think we'll win, then we'll win. That was basically his entire time in charge was, I just don't think we really wanted to win, otherwise we would have. Fucking coach anyone to do anything. There's rumours of him getting the Rangers job. And can I just say,
you're kidding.
I would commute to Glasgow every weekend to see what the home fans make of the football and the mantras of Jesse Marsh. I'd love to see him in his Glasgow derby.
You fucking won't. Oh,
I'm sure there's a lot of great history here with the Celtics. But my God, you know, we got to get out there and believe.
You know what, mate? I don't want to be now. I put a tenner on that, so I did. Uh-huh.
Well, look, buddy, I hope you enjoyed the game. I think it was a great atmosphere. I think we had a great time. You got to look beyond the score, man. What else did we had a great time today?
Oh, 6-0 at home to Celtic. I hate a bastard.
I went
to
lack moment. Are you
telling me shackles and all that shit?
In the Lack Lomond, buddy, there is an energy there. That's what I'm trying to harness. I was speaking to Kamar Roof this week, and I said, I want you to forget training. I don't want you doing any finishing drills. I want you to go to Lack Lomond, and I want you to tell me what you feel.
Eat it up, you wee pricky.
I heard someone shout that once at I went to watch Rangers Partick this, and someone behind me shouted that. I can't remember which player it was, but for argument's sake. Tavernier went, Tavernier, get it up here, you wee prick, yeah. Fucking loved it.
God, that's funny, that is.
Can't imagine Jesse Marsh at Rangers. I mean, Leeds and Rangers, you've got to say, two of the least suited clubs to that sort of persona.
Yes. Well, at Rangers, because the success he's had is where he's basically been one of the richest clubs. And of course at Rangers, he'd struggle to not finish second, which, you know, is different to relegating Leeds. So, you know, I want to see him back, just not at my club. Do you know what I'd love? I'd love him to get the Forest job.
Well, there is no vacancy.
Well,
there is no job for him to get. It is secure in the hands of Steve Cooper as we talk Forest 12th in the Premier League.
Yeah, you're going to be fine this season because there's some absolute shit in there.
I hope so. I really hope you'll be all right.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
I had an email from someone who really enjoyed hearing your fart. I think it was a tweet, actually. And
oh,
it was
God, that's worse.
Cry laughing emoji. I've had a number of tweets this week. I had a tweet from someone called Sophia who went to see my show. I was at Manchester Lowry this weekend. Salford Lowry.
Its own city in its own right.
Its own city. We're not even Manchester. I was at Salford Lowry. So I'd had a tweet going into the gig from a guy called Mike who said, look, there's going to be a train strike on Saturday. It's going to be a pain in the ass getting to your show. Is it going to be worth it? Which I thought was quite funny. So I had a chat with Mike off the top and I said, I hope you enjoy it. I said, I'm not going to lie to you. The car park out is going to be a fucking nightmare. I got a tweet after the gig and it's one of those, it's added me in it, but it's not to me. It says, went to see John Richardson at the Lowry last night. He made a joke about leaving the multi-story car park with 2,000 other people being a nightmare. My husband made us leave during the interval to avoid the scramble.
Man.
So, I mean, I probably wouldn't have made that joke had I known that there would have been men like me in the audience. Would have actually left the gig in the fucking interval.
Good on him.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Let's see if I can.
What was the guy's
name,
by the way?
Mike. Yeah, oh, he's tweeted you afterwards. Because he's going to see you. Yeah, he's tweeted you to say your opening five won't be as funny as mine.
Yeah.
And what he meant by that. I meant to bring that up with you because I didn't want you to think that was him just having a go. It's because my opening five was just about Mike. I went right through his Twitter account and flayed him alive in front of the whole crowd.
Good for you.
Yeah,
I don't really do that sort of thing. I tend to do, you know, actual material.
Do you?
Pre-prepared, honed, polished.
How long did you do that for?
On tour? I did about an hour and a half.
Do you? Of material?
Material. Solid. Ooh. Tried and tested. Bulletproof. I don't know any of the other. Titanium.
So there's a third thing I liked about the snack bowl.
Okay, so hang on. We've only had
the variation in the crisps. Well, we've had the number of different crisps in there.
Yeah.
One's nice, but I think you still call it a treat bowl with one kind of crisp in there. With two in there, that's a lovely. But four, that was really excellent.
Yeah.
And the third thing I loved.
Yeah.
Was just, do you want to guess?
Well, it sounds like you're going to say something about me.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Just the joy that it gave me or something like that.
No, it was the fact that you made it for me and that you brought it to me. Because you very rarely does someone bring you crisps. You'll make someone a sandwich or something, but very rarely does that much effort get put into a little bowl of crisps.
Yeah.
And it was nice. I was a guest in your house and you went to your kitchen, you made me a little treat bowl and you brought me it. And it was slightly, you know, it was a bit like being at your nan's house. It was very nice.
Oh, well, there you go. So what you liked was the service.
Yes.
The consideration. I would also say, you know, the choice of layers, you know, you basically you have to work your way
down. You layered them right.
Yeah, you can't. You've got to think. You got to start bland and go to more vivid. So then that means when you're putting the treats in, you've got to start with more vivid because that's your first layer at the bottom. So it's just training the brain into that sort of. It's basically like Mensa level snack prep. You're basically it's brain training. You know, you don't need all those apps. This will keep your brain fit and your body unfit. And I just find that such a provocative state to be in. Sharp mind, fat belly. You know, you work it out. You take that on Dragon's Den. Do you know what I mean? People are just like, they can't, you're coming at them.
With
so many different, like, you just get investment. They'd just be chucking money at you. Treat bowls.
It was lovely. I had an uncomfortable conversation with your wife. I don't know how to tell you this. Bless you.
Thank you. Yeah, go on.
I don't know how to say this because I know you love her and you're married to her.
Yeah.
And I like her as well. She's a nice lady. She said it was okay to put sweet things in there as well.
Yeah, that's her view.
She implied that she would mix crisps and chocolate in the same bowl.
Yeah, she sometimes puts dried mango in there. Not my cup of tea, John, as you can imagine.
Nobody's cup of tea.
No.
Mango and crisps and chocolate. Well, look, mango and chocolate, sure. Have a sweet bowl and a treat bowl. Have a sweet treat bowl.
Sweet is a treat, isn't it? So I think what's great about treat bowls is it can be totally bespoke and tailored to the needs of the individual. It's a total treat solution bowl. So whatever you want to put in there is exactly what you'll get out of there, literally.
Yeah, of course.
You get out what you put in. You put mango in there, you're only going to get mango out.
Chakra loving bullshit world you live in, where it's okay. Listen, the dog is not a space for this new age thinking where, because soon you'll have those fucking pumps with cocktails in them and you'll have all different kinds of tonic for these tonic twats. The dog and bastard says you will have Gordon's gin and a tonic, maybe Slimline. I don't know. Danny, do we stock Slimline?
No.
Yeah, we don't stock Slimline. You want tonic? Have a fucking tonic, mate.
Yeah, fat shit. This
treat bowl mentality of as long as everybody's happy is not for the dog and bastard. I want prescribed rules, and that rule is you do not mix sweet and savoury.
Okay. I hear you. I believe in the freedom of the individual, but, you know, let's have an authoritarian regime. Wouldn't it be great if in pubs, and we can do this in the dog, if you said, I'll have a bag of salt and vinegar, instead of having to claw it open with your teeth and put it on the table, they decanted it for you into a treat bowl, the entire pack, and give you that.
Yeah, I've stayed in some hotels on the tour where you are brought nuts or those little horrible puff snack things that smell of piss.
What?
They're fucking horrible. They're not unlike a pop chip, but they're sort of spherical. They're like
chip bites.
Almost like Rice Krispies. I don't know what they're made of.
They're sweet chili flavoured.
They can orange be sweet color. Chili flavoured, yeah, or they can be almost like honey glazed.
Yeah, but it's chili. It's
foul.
Chili.
They're foul.
Well, they're probably out of date.
And the problem is, I think when you're in a public sphere, I mean, I'm slightly uncomfortable as to speculate on where your hands have been, but certainly in a bar, I want a sealed bag to be assured that I'm not dealing with anybody else's. I when I was on my epic train journey back from Spain on my own, I found a little bar in Madrid. I went and watched the football and he put me down such a big bowl of peanuts that I thought, well, I'm not finishing all of these. Yeah. I don't think any table in here is finishing their nuts. So you're either wasting a lot of nuts or you're mixing them back in the big bowl and sending them out.
Did you have any of them?
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I'm amazed after that. You actually had some.
Well, I was fucking starving, because I don't know if you remember, I'd been to the restaurant where the woman had been very rude to me.
Yes.
I went to get some dinner and she said, I'm not serving him in Spanish, because she thought I didn't understand what she was saying. So I was upset and I was very hungry. So I ate my nuts. Get some nuts. Speaking of rudeness.
You ate from that bowl. All the different international urine that you consumed. Of all the people. It's mad. You sometimes just let yourself off that leash. And we never know what direction you're going to go in.
And well, I'm remarkably lax in pubs. It's one of the great contrarianisms. What's the word I need? One of the great contrarianesses?
Contradictions?
Contradictions, that's the word.
Thank you.
It's one of the great contradictions at the heart of me. Something about when I get in a pub, I basically become a...
You drink alcohol.
Beer-swilling naughty boy.
Are you a beer-swilling naughty boy? Email us hello@downthedog.com. There's one more email here before we get on to pub dogs. This one's called A Little Bit Fruity. This is from Michael.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I've got no idea what this is going to say. He says, back in 09, I was on my holidays from my first year of uni. I required a job during this period. I got one at my local Wetherspoons. He says, with no original intention of staying, ended up working for them for 7 years. On one of my first shifts, I was on the floor collecting glasses, wiping tables, taking out meals, etc. Around 2 hours into the shift, the police come in and ask me if we're missing a fruit machine. I look to the corner of the pub to find a big open space where it should be. Apparently two guys had taken it from right under my nose and everyone else's, to be fair. The only mistake was turning left when they left the pub, which took them straight past the police station. I've got numerous of other stories ranging from a time a massive inflatable helium willy made its way to the top of the roof and stayed there for weeks, to the time the medical students of our local university took over the pub and produced so much urine in the toilets we had to close them as it was leaking into the kitchen and onto our staff. I thought I'd leave a tease of those stories instead. Wow. Well, let me tell you, Michael, we need these stories. This is great pub chat. This is, you've pulled up a pew and you've just started regaling us with stories of the time you worked in a pub. If you've got pub stories, email us. hello@downthedog.com. If you worked in a pub or just if you drank in there and, you know, saw something funny, which is basically all of us, isn't it? Surely. Oh my God. Nicked a fruit machine, didn't even realize it.
Wow. They must have done it with a trolley. That's a good story. I don't know.
But when they have passed the police station on the way in and thought, we better not walk past that.
Do you reckon they planned it? Do you reckon they had one of those jacks outside? They must have planned it.
You don't just nick a...
It's not carry a fruity, can you?
Crime, is it?
They were trying to get the money out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they were just going to have it in their house for a laugh. I think it's the cash they were after, not maybe the machine itself.
Not the cachet.
Oh, John, you're lovely with wordplay. You really, really are. And all of us appreciate your talent and the fact that
you
occasionally display it on this show. I feel bad for that, but I thought it was, we need each other.
Oh, it was lovely. Yeah, I liked it. And it's, do you know what else it was? It was fair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just pitch up and chat, don't we? Which I think is part of the success behind the show. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week. Don't forget, on another slice, you can now access the Down the Dog lock-in. So for £3 a month, gets you a couple more episodes a month, outtakes and much more. Email us, hello@downthedog. Leave a 5-star written review and we'll see you soon. And
don't get up the cat, get down the dog.
Bye.
Bye.